Beyond the Dark on Radio City 96.7 and City Talk 105.9.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Beyond the Dark, and we're talking now to Neil Arnold about a book called The Paranormal London. Hello, Neil.
Hello there.
Now, first of all, what made you write this book, Paranormal London?
I live in Kent, but I spend most of my time in London, and I always felt that there was a lot of strange stories, which were never really talked about or ever published before, and I always used to read ghost books when I was a kid, and I used to find them very boring and used to think that a lot of them used to regurgitate so much material. So I decided I would write a book called Paranormal London. It's only literally about 100 pages, full of short stories, and just decided I would really explore lots of previously unpublished bizarre reports from London, mainly concerning strange monsters and bizarre apparitions.
Did you find any doors closed to you when you started this book?
No, because I've had so much sort of on file for many, many years, kind of just gathering dust. And I used to kind of write weekly columns for websites, and I just accumulated all these. And I've just found there's been quite a lot of good feedback, because I've got a website as well called beastsoflondon.blogspot.com, and you just gradually just accumulate stories and just decided a book would be a good idea.
Before we talk more about Paranormal London, tell me who Neil Arnold is. Who are you? What's your background?
Well, basically, when I was a kid, I was interested in monsters. Simple as that. I used to hear about very strange stories, and I decided one day I would give up my day job and I would become a full-time monster hunter. And there's not actually many people across the world who do it full-time, and I decided I would try to write books, and I would write for magazines, and I would give, you know, conduct talks on this, mainly sort of whether it was to children or any group that was ever interested. And it's been brilliant ever since then, and the feedback has been amazing, because it's very good if you can find a niche and do something original nowadays.
Tell me, how do psychics look on to you, and also how do you feel about psychics?
I actually find some of the more mainstream, if we can call it mainstream, kind of so-called paranormal, whether it's sort of ghost psychics, I've never really actually been that interested. I've never actually met a psychic or gone to a psychic. And like I say, regarding not a lot of genuine, but you know, sort of general ghost hunters, they tend to not kind of show much interest in the strange apparitions, the more sinister stuff. I think possibly because maybe some people find it a bit too spooky. It's okay sitting in a building late at night if there's possibly a ghost of a woman in the area, but some people don't want to sit out in the woods if they believe that there's something like a bizarre creature actually lurking out in the woods. It's a step too far.
Neil, tell me, why do you think, and you've been around a long time doing this sort of thing, why do you think people are so interested these days?
I think it's the same as when I was a kid. I used to hear stories from my dad and my granddad, and like I said before, you can only go one way. You're either not interested, or you don't believe, or you keep an open mind. And I was just fascinated by these stories, and I just kept reading stuff that was the same old stuff in local bookshops. So I wanted to write stuff that was very, very different, because there's so many hidden stories. And I just believe there's such a need for mystery. Whether people are sceptical or not, there are things which occur across the world which people can't explain. And I just believe that to write books on it is a privilege, and it's just great to be able to talk about some of the weird, you know, encounters I've had and sort of some of the strange stories I've accumulated.
Now, I know you said before that you've been keeping these stories and they've been gathering dust, but how do you check a story out? Just talk through one of your stories and tell us how it's checked out, please.
Okay, well, certainly in Paranormal London, one of the most famous cases is a story called The Highgate Vampire. And this was something which took place in the 1960s in North London in a very derelict cemetery. This cemetery at the time was allegedly said to harbour a tall, dark, red-eyed spirit, which allegedly used to attack people, but mainly psychically drain energy from them in a vampiric sense, but not as in a Christopher Lee vampiric sense. And this kind of created lots of media fuss. And of course, over the years, the case was clouded. So I simply decided I would look through a lot of the old newspaper reports, interview witnesses, and you do find that these things are still seen. Even though at the time it was kind of in a pocket of just say 2 to 3 years, these things gradually die out because of lack of press interest. So I decided to try and stir them up again and try and look into these reports. And I'm more interested in reports, you know, whether they're recent or if they go back centuries, because there's so many stories, whether it's in newspapers or stories which nobody's ever talked about, which I believe need kind of some kind of exposure.
Tell me, with the paranormal, how much do you think is real and how much is people really want it to be real?
Well, I think you're always going to get a good majority of people that either, you know, they put on hoaxes or they imagine things. But there's also a lot of people, of course, that you do. You will something to happen. And I believe, like I say, if you want something to happen or you believe in it enough, it can actually happen. This sounds quite odd, but it's almost like a conjuring kind of... it's a projection, it's a manifestation, something that we don't always intentionally do. I believe that a lot of these things do appear simply due to the human psyche, because of course there are some monsters and very bizarre creatures seen out there in the world which clearly can't exist in the woods. They are not flesh and blood, and yet people still see them. So I believe there's always that desire, whether people go out on ghost hunts, and it puts an almost energy out there, and then things start to happen. But of course we're never going to fully understand these things.
Does Paranormal London touch on ghosts?
Yes, because there were so many ghost books written about London, I decided I would just pick out a few of my favourite ghost stories, such as the Woman in Black, which actually, if anybody's interested, there is a play on in London called The Woman in Black, and it is one of the most terrifying things you will ever see. It's only got two actors in it. But interesting, the theatre is actually haunted by a woman in black, so it gives it a little bit more kind of... sort of spookiness. And there are certainly a handful of ghost stories I've been interested in across London, but I do prefer the more sort of weirder aspect of things.
I'm talking to Neil Arnold. He's got a book out called Paranormal London. I have to ask, have you investigated, have you touched on, have you looked in and delved into the Ripper?
Well, I've actually mentioned in the book the ghosts of the Ripper victims. The issue with Jack the Ripper for me is that I've got a theory that's different to quite a lot of others, and this is a theory that has been put forward before. I do not believe there was just one Jack the Ripper. I do not believe that there was just a lone serial killer, but that's something else entirely. But there certainly have been reports of Jack the Ripper's victims, and allegedly there have been even reports of Jack the Ripper's ghost. But I believe this is just down to perception of the individual at the time and what they perceive. You know, you could just see a dark figure around Whitechapel, and straight away you're going to jump to the conclusion it's Jack the Ripper's ghost.
What is it you want people to take from Paranormal London?
I just think that we've lost that kind of... you know, when I grew up, I was interested in Victorian ghost stories and authors such as M.R. James and H.P. Lovecraft. And I love campfire stories. And I just think we've kind of lost that over the years. Things have become very commercial. We've got programmes on TV which kind of poke fun, or it's just pure entertainment. And I think it's great to have these things as entertainment, but I think sometimes we need to look into the more complex and dark history of these things, because, like I say, these things have always existed. And it doesn't matter how much kind of great photographic equipment we've got or gadgets, we will never, ever truly understand the world of ghosts or monsters, and as in monsters in a supernatural sense. But it's great to always simply highlight these things and keep these mysteries going.
Do you think there's a really dark side in London?
Definitely. I believe that, you know, to every kind of good, there is a negative, unfortunately. Whether it's an evil, I'm not sure. But certainly there can be very sort of dark energies, whether it's a malevolent spirit or it's something conjured, sort of unintentionally dark. There will always be sort of dark to go with light, and again, possibly that's because humanity actually needs this. And of course, you know, a story of a monster appearing in a street in broad daylight doesn't have the same effect as a monster appearing on a dark and stormy night. So that's why we always have a craving for the dark, I think.
Neil, does religion come into your life?
It doesn't in my life personally, but I've actually investigated a lot of reports of monsters and strange creatures which do have religious connections, whether it's going back to, you know, Native American Indian beliefs, or certainly beliefs across, you know, different cultures, and certainly, you know, social beliefs and social structures.
Do you did you find that children are involved in Paranormal London?
Children are just fascinated by this kind of thing anyway, the same as I was when I was sort of 9 or 10 years old and I was, you know, obsessed with these kind of really dark stories. I think that children as well, the same as animals, are often sort of prone to seeing bizarre kind of entities and things like that. Possibly there's a level of innocence about it all, I'm not sure. But certainly, you know, there are lots of children that, you know, be interested in this kind of thing, and certainly it's a book that would appeal to children because it's sort of very sort of short stories.
Talking about religion before, let's go back to it and ask you a question. Do you think that there is such a thing as a devil?
I personally don't believe in a god or a devil, but I do actually believe that there are energies. I believe that a lot of things that do people actually believe in are actually just social constructs, which it gets a bit complicated, but I believe that certainly there is a darkness, and I believe that so-called demonic entities and things like that do exist. But again, it's down to the individuals. You know, to one person, an angel, a winged humanoid could be an angel, but to somebody else, it could be a demonic kind of winged creature. So again, I think it depends on human perception. Of course, everybody's different, which is why these things vary all the time.
Looking into Paranormal London, did UFOs figure at all?
Yes, there is a chapter on UFOs. Again, it basically concerns the occasional reports of so-called alien abduction and, of course, just general signs of UFOs. I'm personally a believer in that UFOs are not from other planets. I believe that UFOs, bizarrely, are things we've actually unintentionally put there. I think, again, the more you believe in something, the more it can kind of appear. I do not believe there's little Martians whizzing around in discs that are coming down and taking us into their spacecraft. I just do not believe it. But there are reports going back thousands of years of bizarre things happening in the skies over the world, and certainly London has been a focus of this.
Interesting that London now is a very modern city, but many, many, many years ago it was a dark, dingy place with very little street lighting. Do you think that changes the perception of London, or is that just part of the myth that in those days it must have been more, there must have been more ghosts, there must have been more beings?
Definitely. I think as well, again, if you look at the Jack the Ripper mystery, everybody seems to think it was thick fog back then, and the Jack the Ripper figure had a black cloak and a sort of deerstalker hat, and he probably didn't. It just sounds good. Certainly one mystery in the book that does kind of confirm that kind of fogginess about London's Victorian kind of lifestyle is the legend of Spring Hill Jack, who in 1838, 50 years before Jack the Ripper, was a tall, darkly garbed, spindly figure that used to prowl London's ill-lit streets, and he used to jump out on females and spit blue flame in their face, and used to have iron-like claws, and used to slash at their clothing, laugh at them, and then bound off allegedly over houses on spring type of hills. When you look back into this story, it seems that it just was overblown due to the dramatic stories of the local newspapers at the time, and of course because it was such a foggy sort of misty kind of time, it's kind of embedded itself in that kind of folklore. I don't think we could have a Spring Hill Jack in the modern day.
With all your writings and all your research, do witches figure anywhere?
There certainly are reports of, I believe that witches were simply misunderstood people who possibly had clairvoyant or mediumship type of qualities. I believe anything back centuries ago that was misunderstood, unfortunately, resulted in people being burned at the stake. There are reports from all over the UK and certainly all over the world of people who harboured these kind of, or allegedly said to have liaisons with the devil, or had, you know, black cats as familiars. And these people, unfortunately, were persecuted because of this. But witches don't actually feature too heavily in London folklore, but there are a couple of sort of quirky and small snippets.
I'm talking to Neil Arnold. Neil Arnold's got a book out called Paranormal London. Neil Arnold, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Late Night City with Pete Price on Radio City 96.7 and City Talk 105.9.